Now, last night should not have any bearing going forward on some of these awards markets. And I'll get to what I'm getting at a little bit later on in this conversation. But when you look at the American League, that's where we'll start here with the MVPs, the Roys, the Cy Youngs, and certainly the manager of the year. But Jensen, we talk about these narrative-driven awards all the time. Is there any baseline criteria that you would look at for either MVP or any of these categories, to be honest with you, that you'd say this is the minimum that I'd need in order to cash that ticket?
Well, first, no Aaron Judge in the AL MVP race this year, so we will have a new winner. I do think that we'll watch for the trade deadline. If Yordan Alvarez is still a member of the Houston Astros, heck, is still a member of American League team, then he is going to be that man to beat. We had a real scary moment in that game last night where Junior Caminero gets hit on the hand. X-rays were negative. It sounds like he is going to be fine of his own accord. Said he's going to be ready to play in the games there for Tampa Bay on Friday. That is good news for my 20-1 ticket on him to win American League MVP. Mm-hmm. And I would say the narrative more so with that market will continue to be the best player in the best team. Can Caminero catch Yordan Alvarez? He certainly can, as far as homers, as far as, you know, looking at some of the vital statistics that you would need in an MVP conversation. As we sit here today and look at some of the bigger ones from the analytic community, just on the American League side alone, you're going to have a strong argument for Bobby Witt Jr. too, because he is your leader in offensive wins above replacement at 4.8. Yordan Alvarez is second at 4.4. Junior Caminero is down at 3.2. So, you know, almost a win and a half more is Bobby Witt Jr. and Yordan Alvarez over a win more. Now, all that being said, I still think that we will get to a point where you have to recognize the best player on the best team. I would lean that Caminero has the inside track should he continue this assault. For what it's worth, Alvarez, 31 homers and 70 ribbies. Caminero, 28 homers and 59 ribbies. So, you know, looking at just brass tacks, both those guys are going to be right in the thick of things. And I don't know if Bobby Witt Jr. has the staying power. He'd have to get to 40-plus homers, you know, a bunch of stolen bases. He'd have to overcome where Kansas City will be a last-place team.
And that's exactly where I was getting at, Jensen, is historically, and I've mentioned this on the program before, Andre Dawson is the last guy in the National League to win the MVP on a last place team. That was Chicago Cubs back in 1987. I'd forgotten about this one, though. Alex Rodriguez is the last guy to win it on an American League team in last place, and that was the Texas Rangers back in 2003. But we're still talking over 20 years. So again, these narratives that we talk about, like in Bobby Witt Jr. on a last place team right now in the Kansas City Royals, really win the MVP? History would say no, that's really not the case. And I kind of agree with it. Like, I get it, the analytics community. I get what they're going to talk about with wins above replacement. But I would also make the argument that Junior Caminero, with the expectation level that Tampa Bay had, and that's where the narratives start to play into it, that they were not expected to do what they're doing. And if they did win the East, and Caminero is the reason why, and he's got the say haughtier numbers than Bobby Witt Jr., I would think he'd be the guy. And I think Alvarez, good point you made there about whether or not he's even on the team. I alluded to last night's performance. It should not affect certainly the voting, but when you have a guy like Dylan Cease, and we talked a little bit about this before the game last night, that voters are impressionable and they see Dylan Cease go out there and dominate on the biggest stage and strike out the side against the National Leaguers. Cam Schwitler didn't play in this game. I wonder, Jensen, it should not have a carryover effect. It should be in a vacuum, but you know that's not real life sometimes, if that's going to make that race even tighter. It's already tight right now with Schwitler at plus $1.25 and Dylan Cease the second choice at $1.35.
It won't have any impact. I know that plenty of voters who have a vote, they will treat it as an exhibition, which it is. Great for pomp and circumstance, but will not factor into the statistics that will go into the vote. For what it's worth, Dylan Cease at the break does lead Cam Schwitler in pitching wins above replacement. Dylan Cease at 3.7, Cam Schwitler at 3.4. Joe Ryan is third. And I bring up Joe Ryan just because will he be a member of the Minnesota Twins by the time we get past the trade deadline? Very interesting guy there. Only three pitchers that are at 3.3 wins above replacement on the pitching side of the American League or higher. It's Joe Ryan, Cam Schlittler, and Dylan Cease. Farther down the board, I have a 60-1 future on Davis Martin to win the Cy Young. Now, the White Sox will need to continue how well they've played here for him to be in that market. And I think he's going to have to significantly increase the strikeouts per nine. He is at 8.25 right now. That is dwarfed by the gentleman in front of him, particularly Schlittler and Cease. Cease is at 13.5, which is astronomically high for a starting pitcher. And Schlittler is at 10.39. So just food for thought on that. There are eight starting pitchers right now with a 10 or higher strikeouts per nine rate so far this season. And you're looking at Dylan Cease, Jacob DeGrom, Gavin Williams, Joe Ryan, Cam Schlittler, Taj Bradley, Reed Detmers, and Ryan Weathers in that category. So I think it's a two-man race at this point. Injuries and workload are going to be something to watch. That is something with Cam Schlittler. And I told this to you a month or so ago, and even we had Matt Eumanns on, who has, what, upwards of a 300-1 ticket on Schlittler to win the AL Cy Young. With where the Yankees are and with the attrition to their rotation so far this year, Dave, they're going to bubble wrap Cam Schlittler down the stretch to make sure he not only gets through the finish line healthy, but also with enough in the tank to be highly effective in what they hope is a long postseason run. So factor that in. Toronto is still chasing a playoff spot. Not that the Yankees aren't. They're comfortably in one. But remember that if you want to hitch your wagon to Dylan Cease, there's a lot of meaningful innings that he's going to have. And he has that veteran odometer already where there's not going to be any training wheels on him. They're going to let him go.
Right.
They're going to let him do his thing. So he's got a chance to slingshot past Cam Schlittler if he continues on this run.
I tell you, you are much more confident than I that they will not base anything off of last night. They shouldn't. It should be in a vacuum. Treat it as the exhibition it is. I always worry about voters, and we don't know exactly what they're judging it on. National League side here, I want to start with the Cy Young because we get why the Miz is an overwhelming favorite at this juncture at minus 550. The problem there is if he's got any arm trouble, and we know that's why he didn't pitch here, is, you know, tired arm, we're just going to rest him in the second half. I worry about that. And that same scenario you just mentioned for Schlittler, would they do that with the Miz in Milwaukee? And that could open the door, dare I say, for a Zach Wheeler at 16-1. Do you read the board the same way?
Man, this is as dominant a first half that we've seen from a starting pitcher in a while. And Dave, I'll give you some of the peripherals. Jacob Mizorowski has surrendered 57 hits in 111 innings and leads the league in strikeouts at 167. He also has a 162 ERA. Now, we will monitor, you know, the arm issue and see where it's going. We are told that this was precautionary. There is nothing to indicate anything is severe. All that being said, I think Zach Wheeler, because of the all-star snub, you want to talk about the exhibition meaning something. Don't be surprised if Zach Wheeler is just guns blazing, and he already has been from what he's done since he came back. Dave, if you go back to when he made his first start, and I believe this was back on, I think, April 25th, only Jacob Mizorowski has more strikeouts than Zach Wheeler does. He is 10-1 with a 2.13 ERA since April 25th. If you're going to hit your wagon to someone there, it is Zach Wheeler or bust for me, because he is PO'd beyond belief about the all-star snub, and he will use that. You also have the narrative street at play here. Phillies have been really hot. If they go run down the Braves and win the division, they're going to be in that top two, top three of wins in the National League. Zach Wheeler, Jesus Luzardo, Christopher Sanchez, since April 25th, Dave, 108, 103, 101 strikeouts, respectively. Only Jacob Mizorowski has more than those three in that time span. It is wild looking at that rotation, how good they've been.
Yeah, and that's why I think your tickets are live in Philadelphia. And by the way, manager of the year, if you made a play before the season began, I feel bad for you. In the regard that Don Mattingly wasn't even on your ballot. You didn't have the opportunity to bet Don Mattingly because he wasn't the skipper at the beginning of the year. He replaces Rob Thompson, and now he's the short shot at plus 250 to win this award. It's been a remarkable turnaround, so I can understand why. But McCullough down with the Fighting Fish, Jensen, at 5-1.
Bingo.
Is he right? That's kind of where I look and go, wouldn't that be where you put your vote?
Well, if you think that Clayton McCullough wins Manager of the Year, that would be predicated on the Marlins winning the division. So you might as well just go play the Marlins at, 13-1 right now? I've got a ticket on them at 35-1. Dave, we talked about the little lottery ticket from one of our viewers saying if you want the Tigers to win the Central, Marlins to win the East, that's 111-1. Take a shot on Miami now at 13-1. I've got them at 35-1. They've got the rotation. They've got the bullpen. They've got the offense. What a race we've got in the East here in the second half.
I got them plus 750 just to make the postseason, but boy, I'm wondering if I should double dip a little bit and take a stab at that divisional price as well.